So we were talking about last week how Achav was out at war and he dressed up as just an ordinary person, and he was hoping that through dressing up that would bring to fruition to some degree the nevuah of this prophet, of the Navi Michio, even though part of the prophecy was that Achav was going to die. But he was hoping, just like with Moshe Rabbeinu, when Moshe Rabbeinu was he was supposed to be inflicted by water, that's what the astrologers told Paro. That's what the astrologers told him to throw the boys in the water. Yeah. But once he was placed in the water in a basket, that brought to fruition, at least to some level, the fact that he was in the water, and the astrologers told Paro that the savior of the Jewish people was put in the water in the Nile River, and even though he didn't die, he was just placed in a basket, that was enough. So Achav was hoping the same kind of thing would happen. If you dress up, you would lose his status as a king because he's not dressing his royal clothes anymore. So to some degree, that would bring to fruition the nevuah of the prophet, and he wouldn't have to die. However, that didn't work. And he, in fact, got killed by a man who wasn't even aiming for him. He wasn't aiming for the king. He just pulled the bow and arrow, and the arrow went flying, and managed to go through the armor of Achav and injured him enough that apparently turned out to be a fatal injury. But he didn't want to leave yet. He didn't want to show any weakness. So he tells his driver to keep on riding, as if he's in the middle of the war and he's totally fine. And let's see what happens. So the king was still standing. He didn't want the morale of the people to drop, not even one bit. So he remained standing the whole time, even though he was injured and he was literally about to die. He was bleeding to death. He remained standing because he wanted his people to keep on fighting. But Yomas be'erev ve'itzak damamak al chikar rechev. He died in the evening, and the blood from his wound basically filled the whole chariot, the bed of the chariot. Ve'yavar arina b'machre kavoy Hashem v'shleimor. And this rumor passed through the camp once he passed away, once he died, saying, everyone should turn back to their cities, go back to their towns, because the king has died. And it says that everyone was actually happy to hear that Achav died. Like it says, that's why it says in the pasuk, "Vayavar harina." Harina means rumor, but it also is referring to a pasuk that says, "Ba'avid rishayim rina." As rishayim, as evil people pass away, rina, there's happiness. So everyone apparently was happy to hear that he died. And now they can go back to their hometown. Now it's interesting though, it doesn't say who defeated who. It doesn't say if the Jews were victorious or Aram was victorious. So now, since it says Shuvu, The Navi says, Yeshuvu ish leveis b'shalim, that was part of the nevuah, that every man should turn to his house in peace. Yep. It sounds like either no Jewish men, no Jewish soldiers died at war, or if they did die, it was very little. It was very small. So there were definitely not major casualties at this war. That much is clear. So everyone goes back to their hometown, the war is over, everybody's happy, and Achav is dead. That's the best news of the day. The king dies, and he goes back to Shimrin. And they bury the king in Shimrin, which is where he lived. Now, it's interesting. Part of the nevuah was that in the same place where the blood of Navi spilled for no reason, in that same place, the dogs are going to lick the blood of Achav. So we're going to see in the next few psukim how that nevuah, how that prophecy came to fruition. Pasuk lamed ches, v'yishtoy v'sarechav al brecha shemer. So now they have to clean out the chariot where Achav died. So they bring it over to Brechas Shemrein. Ve'aleiko ha'klovim asdamai. Ve'azayin ha'srachatzu k'dvar Hashem asher diber. And so here is where the prophecy comes to fruition. Because they bring the chariot where Achav died to the pool, to some kind of water stream in Shemrein.
Who's the he?
Who brought it?
No, it says, and he washed the chariot.
It was the driver, I guess. It doesn't say exactly who, but it sounds like it was, you know, the driver, whoever, yeah, the chauffeur, whoever was in charge.
I'm guessing the person who was driving him, the chariot.
They brought the king.
Yeah.
Right, the person, he said, hurry up, turn around.
Right.
I'm guessing, I'm assuming he's the one.
Right, yeah.
They brought the king, he said, they brought the king, and then they buried him. And he washed the chariot. Who's the he?
It says here the driver.
The driver, yeah. The driver of the chariot.
Why do you say that?
I mean, that's...
That's what it sounds like.
It could have been anybody down there.
Yeah, it could have been anybody.
They buried the king. They must have had people around when they buried the king.
Well, it sounds like he wasn't a very popular king, because everyone was happy when he died.
Yeah.
So it's not like he had a major levaya with, half a million people.
It seems this pasuk comes to tell you, why do we have to know he washed it? Because the dog licked his blood. When he washed the carriage, the blood falls, probably went on the street, so... Mm-hmm. Otherwise, who cares?
Right. No, that's why it's so important, because this is where the nevuah is coming to fruition. So we'll see, there's a few different explanations as to how it took place, how it happened. So, one explanation is that, so let's first see the Malbim. The Malbim says that that what happened was is that the bloodstream went into this stream of water, right? It kind of poured into this pool of water. And what happened was is the dogs came and they drank from this pool of water, and the zonos, the prostitutes, also bathed in this pool of water. So that's how the prophecy of Michiyahu came to fruition. That's one way. Right, that's one way that it came true. The Ralbag explains that
the blood was mixed with water. Water of there.
Yeah. Yeah, the blood was got mixed in the water of the Brechas Shemrein, the pool in Shemrein.
Yeah.
Now, there's another pshat that the Radak brings down. First of all, regarding the prostitutes, he explains that since Achav had a very low libido, so his wife, Izebel, painted some kind of picture of prostitutes inside his chariot. And there was some kind of image or some kind of painting of prostitutes inside his chariot to warm him up, to get him, you know, more into Taiva, into...
He was a cold...
Yeah, he's very cold. Yeah, he had a very low libido. And his wife was trying to warm him up so he would be more into...
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what happened was...
What were they doing there? I mean, how do you know they were prostitutes? He had naked women there.
No, it wasn't live women. It was just a picture.
The painting.
Yeah, the painting, yeah.
Naked women.
Yes.
Otherwise, he's not going to get... They're going to be able to pull
right.
a plate.
Right, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but not all naked women are prostitutes.
Yeah, I don't know exactly, if they took...
Any kind of a picture of a naked woman could get you going.
Right, right, right. It was, pornography is not a modern invention. Apparently, it existed also at the time of Navi, right? And so Izevo might have been the inventor of this. In any case, so that's one explanation. So now, when he died, when he passed away, his blood got splattered onto this picture of these zonos, of these prostitutes. And that's what it says, that the prostitutes bathed in his blood. So it doesn't mean literally, it means this image, this picture that Izevo painted on the wall of his chariot, that's the blood that it's referring to. Yeah,
well,
that's
the blood was all over the chariot.
Right, right. Part of it was
so
on.
So how did he right. get on there too if it was in there?
Yeah, yeah. Right. Another explanation that Radak brings down is that it's not really literal. Rather, zonos refers to the word chizyonos. Chizyonos are visions. Right. Thank you. Are visions, and referring to the vision of Eliyahu and the vision of Micha. Right. Eliyahu said that in the place that the blood of Navi spilled, that's where the dogs will lick the blood of Achav. And Michiah said that if you come back, your whole family will be killed. Now, the Radak asks, how did the prophecy come into full fruition? It's not necessarily true. Because where did Navi live? Remember? Where did he live? He lived in Israel. And where is this happening? This is happening in Shamrai.
Yeah,
right, two different places.
Because the water flowed.
Right, very good.
So
the water started off in the pool of Shamrai, and then it flowed down all the way to Israel. And it was mixed with the blood. And when it got to Israel, which is where Navas was killed, that's where the dogs drank from the water. And that's exactly where Navas was killed. And so the Nevuah actually came true. Okay. Let's see further. V'yezer divrei Achav v'chol asher osu beis Hashem asher bono, v'chol arayim asher bono, leim ksuvim al sefer divrei yomim l'malcha Yisrael. And everything else that happened with Achav, and everything he did, all the cities that he built, it's all written in Divrei Yomim, which is where it records everything that the Jewish kings completed. So Achav passed away, and Achaziah's son takes over. He's now king. V'yoshafat ben Asa melech al Yehuda, b'shnas arba la'achav melech Yisrael. So now Yoshafat, who is the king over Yehuda, right? Achav is Melech Yisrael, and Yoshafat is another king of Yehuda. Yoshafat ben Shloshim v'chamesh shana b'malcha, v'eshrim v'chamesh shana malach b'Yerushalayim, shem imoy azuba bas shilchi. Yoshafat was king for 35 years, and he was king in Yerushalayim for 25 years. And his mother's name was Azuva.
He reigned for a long time.
Sorry?
He reigned for a long time.
Yeah. He reigned for a long time. He sure did.
So what does it mean by he reigned by Judah, and then he reigned?
So first he was reigned only in Judah, and then after Achav died, he had reign over the rest of Israel for 10 years.
Okay.
That's one of Shatham. So this David explains that he was a total reign for 25 years, but it was over 35 years, over a period of 35 years, he had a total reign of 25 years. So it was 25 years that he was actually king, but it was over a period of 35 years. And he followed everything that Asa did. He was a good king. He followed the mitzvahs of the Torah. Now like Achav, who enticed the Jewish people to worship idols. The only problem is that the bomos were still there. The bomos that Achav originally built weren't torn down. And so the Jewish people, unfortunately, were still
doing something wrong.
Yeah, still doing something wrong. V'yashlan Yoshafat in Melech Yisrael. So Yoshafat made a peace treaty with Melech Yisrael. V'yashlan Divrei Yoshafat of Gerasa Yosher Asa V'asher Nilcham Loyim Ksuvim Al-Sefer Divrei Yomim L'Malchi Yehuda. And so now we're concluding the reign of Yoshafat. Everything he did, everything he fought is mentioned in Divrei Yomim. V'yashlan Rekadosh Yosher Nisha B'mi Asa Aviv B'yer Min Ha'aretz. And everything that was left was burnt. Everything, all the kodesh that was burnt. The Rashi over here explains that the kodesh is referring to some kind of public adultery that was practiced. I don't know exactly what it means, sure. But it was not exactly the holiest thing. Yeah. And everything that this kind of custom that was happening was burnt, was eradicated completely from the land of Israel.
It says he, down here, he brings that the high places were still there, but they didn't use them for bummers. Mm-hmm. But what was wrong, they shouldn't have left it there because of what they reminded you of, or whatever.
Right,
it is.
Right.
They shouldn't have left it there. Even though they didn't use it for that purpose.
Yeah.
It's not that he did everything else right, but this he left, even though it's not. They didn't do it like the other ones, the bad. But they shouldn't have left that either.
Right. Yeah. So.
There's a high prohibited from time that the temple was built, high places were not allowed for sacrifices.
Yes.
Even though you're meant to sacrifice for Hashem, but you're not supposed to do it up there. You have places where you do it and other places where you don't do it.
Right. So the Malbim Meravir points out that Yehoshaphat really was a good king. He followed the ways of the Torah. There are two things that he did wrong. Yeah. Number one was that he left the Bamis. That was wrong. And number two was the fact that he made up with Melech Yisrael, who was a Rasha, referring to Achav. That was another mistake that he made. The fact that he made a peace treaty with Achav was wrong. He should not have collaborated with Rishayim, with evil people. So, but besides those two things, he did everything right.
Sure.
Okay, let's continue. Umelech en be'edom, nitzav melech. Now there is no king in Edom. Why is there no king? Thanks to Yoshaphat. Yoshaphat apparently fought against Edom. Yoshaphat asa anias tarshish lalech sefira lazahav veloy halach ki nishberu anias be'etzion gaver.
He said, so, here, down here, he says the prostitutes, the male prostitutes, not women.
Oh, really?
Fagaloch.
Interesting.
Fagaloch. No, the big eagles.
Yeah. But in any case, the kodesh that was happening, this prostitution or infidelity, whatever you call it, that was going on in a public way, in some way or other.
Like Saddam Gorah.
Like what?
Like Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
Right.
Like Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah.
Like the townspeople wanted to, like, abuse or violate whatever to the Malachim that were trying to come in.
Right.
It's an abomination.
Yeah. 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 That was so. You know, it doesn't sound like it was as bad, but it was still pretty bad. Because it was going on publicly.
Yeah.
Well. It says they did it in public places and everything else. That's also one of the things of the Dora marble. They were doing that too.
Right.
Not just.
They're still doing it today. What's it?
What? No, I'm talking about why Dwyer Sim killed everybody. That was one of the reasons. Not what they're doing there today. They do everything today. When the people don't die for it, yet. Anyway, but. What was I going to say?
You get a little AIDS, big deal.
What was I going to say? It seems. It seems. That the reason Hashem made the marble wasn't because they were worshiping idols. That alone, we wouldn't have bought them. Mm-hmm. It seems because nobody cared for anybody else. I mean, you couldn't have a state. Everybody had was for themselves. They were all grabbing where they could. They robbed, they did whatever right. they do and everything else. And they couldn't have a society like that.
Right.
I give you a reason for that. I seen it there. Because people who worship idols, they think that's the right way. But if you want to use your brain and think like Abraham did,
mm-hmm.
You could change. So from first articles, they could change and repent. But when you don't care about anybody else, period, and you
right.
that's something that's ingrained in you, that
right.
you're not going to change. Get what I'm
yeah.
saying?
Yeah, it's true. That's a good point. It says that when there's no rain, right? When there's no rain, then the person you choose to go and to be the shliach tzibur, the leader in davening, to daven for rain, is someone that the Gemara calls beisoy rekam. His house is empty, and Rashi explains that his house is empty from gezel, from stealing, right? He goes, only if his house is empty from stealing, that he doesn't have anything that doesn't belong to him, mm-hmm. or he didn't cheat anybody in business, he's the one who has the merit to bring down rain in a proper way. But what they were doing is they were doing exactly the opposite. And that's why, for them, it rained in an improper way. Right? It was an abundance of just everybody doing whatever they want.
Right, right. Right? You know, you're up the creek.
Right. So an abundance of everyone doing whatever they want, like no rules, that brings the rain without any boundaries, right? So if you don't set boundaries, then you're gonna get Hashem is punish them measure for measure exactly the way they behaved. That's the way they got punished, because they had no boundaries. So too the rain that was brought forth also did not have any boundaries. That was part of the Chetamabu.
Do you ever think why Hashem could have just got rid of them all? He could have made them die. And,
right.
And then, why did he have to bring them? What was the purpose of the marble to do it?
Right.
Wash away your sins.
Not a very Jewish idea. You don't believe in washing away our sins.
I mean, they say when you read that the reason after that people didn't live as long as before because the whole atmosphere of the earth changed.
Mm-hmm.
Before, it was nice, it was everything else, and it never got cold and everything else. But after he brought the, he changed the whole atmosphere.
Uh-huh. Changed the whole climate.
But the thing is, why did it have to happen that way? He could have got they made it, they all died, and that's all.
Mm-hmm.
Never think about it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, clearly Hashem was trying to send a message. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who took the message?
Well, Noah took the message. Noah and his son.
Noah took the message. Not completely. He was He had three sons. Two of them were all right. The other one really didn't take the message.
Right, right. Yeah, that's true. And he got cursed. He got cursed for that. Yeah, Ham got cursed. Okay, let's see if we can finish the parak. No, I don't think we're going to have time. We have a few more psukim until the end of the sefer. So let's see what we can do. Memtes. Yehoshaphat also needs to... So we read this pasuk. Yehoshaphat built... Apparently, he built... Once he conquered Edom, he built these ships, but they didn't even manage to sail off. The second they set sail, they broke apart immediately. And so he was planning to go and collect all these natural treasures, like gold, right, and other treasures, but he didn't manage to carry out his plan because due to poor planning, his ships fell apart. Yes. So Ahaziah, who's now the king over Israel, tells Yehoshaphat, why don't my men go with your men? We'll go together. Let's put together a team. Right? Teamwork, and we'll be successful. Yehoshaphat says, no. Not interested. Not happening. Yehoshaphat was buried together with David. In your David, and Yehoram, his son, was king instead. Achaziah ben Achav Melech Yisrael b'Shemen b'Shna Shvay Esol Yehoshaphat Melech Yehuda v'Yim Lech Yisrael Shnosai. Achaziah was king over Israel in Shemen when Yehoshaphat was king for 17 years, and he was king over Israel for 2 years. V'Yasra ben Yashem v'Elech b'Derechav v'Derechimayim v'Derechiyov v'Menavat Asherech Yisrael. Apparently, he was not a good king, and he followed his father and his mother, and the same path of Yerovim and Avat. He continued worshipping the Baal, and unfortunately, he was just like the apple didn't fall far from the tree, and he behaved just like Achav did. Okay, very good. We finished Melachim Aleph. So next week we'll begin with Melachim Beis. Yeah, we'll stop here. So I'd like to deal with a very interesting shaila that came up regarding a bit of a unique story. So there was a certain cop in Israel that was dealing with some robberies that were going on in a religious neighborhood, and he came up with the following question. He said that the way it turned out, the information that the cops received turned out that the way that these robbers operated was they would look for the houses where the Hanukkah candles were not lit, right? Which meant that the owners of the house had already left, because obviously if they're not lit, then they left, right? If they're lit, they wouldn't leave a burning candle in the house. So that was their clear sign. If there are candles burning in the windows, they knew the house was occupied. If there was no candles in the window, they knew the house was empty. So that was a clear sign to them if they can break in or not. So this cop came up with the following scenario. He said that one night he was religious as well, he lights candles at his window, and he gets information from his unit that in his neighborhood, on his street, these people that allegedly are breaking into houses are right there on his street. So he looks outside his window, and in fact, he sees these two guys that look suspicious. So he comes up with the following plan. He says, I'm going to go ahead, put out my candles, my Hanukkah candles. Then these two suspicious people are going to walk by my house. They're going to see that the candles are out. They're going to break into my house. I'm going to wait for them in the shadows and catch them red-handed. And then we're going to put an end to all these break-ins. And we'll be able to arrest them and everyone will be happy. Right? So the question is, if you're allowed to go ahead and put out the candles of Hanukkah, which typically you're not allowed to, but in this case, in order to save people a lot of money and a lot of aggravation, are you allowed to do that? Yeah? Question
clear? Before the half hour.
It's before the half hour, yes. It's before that. Right. It says you, typically you're not allowed to.
Of course it's before the time. Otherwise, there's no shayla.
Sorry?
I said, of course, you put them out before the time they had.
Right. That
they,
right. Yeah, it's within the half hour.
Right.
Yeah, they did not light a half hour yet.
Right.
So let's say it's 10 minutes after he lit. Yes. So typically, you're not allowed to put them out until it's been half an hour. So the question is if you're allowed to. So the answer is that you are not allowed to put out the candles. And the reason being is that a person is obligated to give really all of his money in order to perform a mitzvah. Right? Because we find that a person is really obligated to sell his own clothes in order, if he doesn't have any money, doesn't have enough money to buy oil or wicks, then he's really obligated to sell his belongings in order to perform the mitzvah. Right? Yeah, but still, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that you're obligated to sell your own belongings, to sell money that you own, to sell an object that you own to perform the mitzvah. Right? Not only that, but a person is even obligated to give up all of his money to perform a mitzvah. Yeah, it's only a derabanan, but still. It's still we find the same thing by Lashon Hara, for example. If a person is at a job, he's got a job, and his boss tells him something happened, you know, at his workplace, and his boss tells him, either you tell me what happened, or you're fired. He's gonna have no means to support his family. He's gonna lose his job. He's gonna lose his only source of income. He's not allowed to speak Lashon Hara, which is an avera, in order to save his money, in order to save his job. Right? So the only thing that you might think of that it would be allowed to was really you're not doing it to save money. Rather, you're doing it to spare these people that were also Jewish, to spare them from stealing. Right? By putting them in prison, by catching them or red-handed and putting them in prison, you're sparing them from stealing. So the question is, am I allowed to go in and put out my candles in order to spare other people from doing an avera? From
the benefit of Klal Yisrael.
Yeah. Yeah. However, over there also that doesn't work because we don't tell a person to sin in order to catch robbers, in order to stop other people, from doing an avera. There that is a bit of a more complex issue because it could be, it depends on the situation, but it could be that you're allowed to do a small avera if you're stopping other people from doing a larger avera. So that is a whole issue in and of itself. But in this case, it seems like it's pretty much equal, and therefore you putting out the candles, which you're not allowed to do, in order to stop other people from stealing, is not something that is typically allowed, and therefore, you're not allowed to do so. He says, even furthermore, if, for example, a person is about to read Kriyat Shema, he's about to read Shema, right, and it's time to read Shema, and if he misses the time now, if he doesn't say Shema right away, he's going to lose the opportunity of catching robbers. Would he allowed to do so? Would he allowed to not say Shema in order to catch the robbers? Obviously not, right? And another example for this would be if a person is learning, for instance, he's not obligated to close the Gemara to stop learning in order to catch robbers, in order to stop these people from doing an Avera. And therefore, same thing would be over here. By lighting candles, you're not allowed to put out the candles in order to save these other people from doing an Avera. Okay, I'll stop here.